Hey, while we're looking back on the past, let's pivot right over to The Last Dance, which is, I'm sure you all are on top of this, the documentary, of course, about the Chicago Bulls. And this last week, there was a lot of stars that come out of it. The storylines that we all talk about in the days after this are usually centered around debates between Jerry Krause and Scottie Pippen, and oh, look what Rodman did. And there was plenty of that, Tony Kukoc after this one. But the attention, the meme that came out of this last episode was of a security guard of Michael Jordan and a competitive quarters game and the mullet heard around the world. Matt Fortuna wrote an incredible piece in The Athletic. Thanks for laughing at the joke, man. I appreciate that. You join us now. First of all, thanks for hopping on today. I imagine you're just loving The Last Dance and every minute of it.
Yeah, who isn't? I mean, at this point, it's almost like our own mini Super Bowl every week where we all come together, look forward to it, tweet all throughout it, second guess things even though they happened 30 years ago. And then Monday morning quarterback it the following morning. So that's been an unforeseen silver lining, I think, of this whole pandemic.
Yeah, it's kind of like watching a Bears game. You get to analyze it during it, the ups and the downs, and then look back the next day. We missed that live sports element. So everyone, after they watched that, was posting the meme of him doing the shoulder shrug. And then the next question was, who is that guy? And you have the answer.
Yeah, well, I had the same reaction as everyone else did. I mean, right when I saw that, I laughed on my couch like everyone else, and I immediately thought, you know, who is that? Is it just a random guy? What's his story? If he's alive, what's he thinking watching this? What's his family thinking watching it? And, you know, maybe minutes after, Jordan's manager, SD Portnoy, tweeted out his name, said he'd passed in January, which is obviously unfortunate. But I Googled the name nonetheless, looked through the obituary, saw that he was buried in Oak Lawn, where my wife is from, a big Irish family where everyone knows everyone. And so I immediately thought, well, Chicago cop from Oak Lawn, someone in my extended family has to have known him or someone in his family at some point. So I started shooting some messages around and very quickly got a phone number for his son, Nikolai, who was gracious enough to respond and was really on cloud nine. I think just seeing his old man become this kind of celebrity, even just months after he passed away, to see his moment in the sun, I think was very, very rewarding for the family.
Yeah, that is awesome. I mean, it's too bad that John Michael Wozniak wasn't alive to see him himself become a meme, but it's so great that his family's able to enjoy this moment of fame. And his story is fascinating. You did an incredible, I mean, you guys at The Athletic, if you don't subscribe to The Athletic, you're missing out. For a couple bucks a month, you're getting some of the best sports journalism you're ever going to get. You guys are a great team, so make sure to do that. But you got to read the story because the way that him and Jordan meet is fascinating. His background is great. Walk us through a little of that.
No, I appreciate the kind words, John. Yeah, I mean, it's like out of a sitcom, if you will, like a Seinfeld or Curb Your Enthusiasm. I mean, John Michael Wozniak was a narcotics officer who was working part-time security on the side at the old Chicago Stadium. And early in Michael Jordan's career, his first or second year, John Michael was parking some of the players' cars. He was backing in Jordan's SUV, which at the time had a spare tire on the rear, and he did not account for that, bumped into something, smashed the back window, and presumably, like all of us, well, like I am right now, got a lot of anxiety. Like I am just picturing myself or any of us in that position, wrecking Michael Jordan's car. But he did the honorable thing. He went up to him. He told him what happened. He apologized profusely. He told him, I have a newborn at home, Nikolai, who I talked to. When I get my next paycheck, it's going straight to you. I can't say sorry enough. And to hear Nikolai, his son, tell it, Michael kind of laughed at him, said, don't worry about it. I can get that repaired tomorrow. You know, I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate your integrity. And presumably, even though he wasn't the star yet that he would become, he was still a big enough name and probably had enough hangers-on or enough people wanting something from him that you have to think Michael Jordan at that age, 22, 23 years old, was probably relieved and excited to have someone who wanted nothing from him. And from there on out, he always made it a point to look out for John Michael Wozniak whenever he was at the Chicago Stadium. You know, he asked him to help him out with some things, and one thing led to another. The relationship developed over time, and it got to the point where he ended up moving with him to Birmingham, Alabama, to work for him full-time in 1993 or 1994 when Jordan went to the minor leagues.
That's crazy. Did Nikolai have any information about what we saw in the video of the playing the quarters thing, if that was an extensive thing they always did? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what that moment was. It's hard watching the documentary. They kind of bounce around through all a bunch of years, and that was sort of on a diatribe about Michael Jordan's gambling, etc. Did you get any sense of that, if that sort of thing was a regular that happened, or if we just kind of caught a sliver in time that was unique?
I don't think it was that unique. I don't know if I would go so far as to call it a regular occurrence, but like he was not surprised to see, Nikolai was not surprised to see his old man give it to his heiress like that on TV. I mean, that sounded in keeping with his character. He told me an anecdote that I put in the story about how his father had come home early from a Christmas party with Michael Jordan. I'm not sure if it was at his house or somewhere else, but it was Michael Jordan's Christmas party, and he comes home early, and Nikolai, the son, says, "What happened?" He goes, "Well, I beat Michael Jordan at pool tonight, and Michael didn't like it." So I think, again, going into The Last Dance, you heard all these whispers of Michael, maybe his reputation is going to take a hit here. He thinks people are going to think less of him after they see this. I got to say, through six episodes, hearing stories like John Michael Wozniak's and a few others, more of the common man, if you will, I think higher of Jordan, because I think, he really had an affinity for the common man and for guys who were just looking out for his best interests and didn't want anything in return. And I think the story of John Michael Wozniak tells the story of Michael Jordan in that way. This is a guy who, till his last day, I mean, he was sick for 18 months with colon cancer, worked at Jordan's vacant estate up in Highland Park. Jordan paid him until he died. I mean, he really took care of him and supported him. And I think that says a lot about, their relationship.
Did Nikolai have any heads up that this episode was going to drop and that his father was going to be in it?
He did not know about this specific scene. Now, he told me that his father was interviewed for this before he passed away, and obviously that hasn't aired yet, and I'm not sure if it will air. We'll have to wait and see, like everyone else, over the course of the next 2 weeks. But he did not know this part was going to happen. In fact, he told me when I was able to get him on the phone so late at night on Sunday, because he was watching the second run of it on ESPN, the replay. He said he had a power outage. He lives in Nashville, Tennessee now. He had a power outage in his neighborhood, and he was really upset because he didn't get to watch The Last Dance as a Bulls fan. And once power returned, his phone had all these messages. I think he said he had 35 wow. texts, 10 Facebook friend requests, people from out of the blue he hadn't talked to in years, people like me, obviously, who were trying to reach out to him to get a hold of him for a story. And they were sending him the memes that were going on and this, that, and the other. And so that was, I think, overwhelming initially for Masih, but we exchanged some texts yesterday. Without a doubt, his old man is upstairs in heaven right now saying, "I told you so," because his kids would rag on him for his looks all the time, and he would always give it right back to them and say, "Listen, son, this is my brand." And it's funny to think about that term, knowing the way we use that in the 21st century. I mean, we're talking 30 years ago now, where this guy knew he had a signature look. He knew that's what he went by. He had a lot of swagger to him, despite always keeping in keeping with his blue collar roots. And the son sent me a text last night, quote, "I'm at a loss for words for how right he was," prophetic, end quote. And I think that probably sums it up best.
It's a great pull quote that you guys have on the tweet, at least. He was his own brand before he even met Michael. Matt, we actually have something pretty special here, if you don't mind just staying on the line, because we actually have another caller who worked with John Michael Wozniak. I'm going to bring on in. We're going out to Mark. Mark, you're on WGN.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody.
Hey, so you worked with this guy.
I did. I was also a police officer at the narcotics section, 92-93. John Michael was on one of the teams. There was another officer who worked with us, Calvin Doc Holliday, who was one of Jordan's bodyguards also. As you said, unfortunately, John Michael passed away in January. Terrific guy. He was extremely enthusiastic about working with Michael Jordan. We all kidded him about it, but it was great. I feel a little bad, and we had kind of an email thing the other day from our old boss when this first came out. They're calling him the security guard. He was one of Michael's bodyguards.
Mm-hmm.
It rises a little bit better than security guard.
Yeah.
Very close to Jordan.
I got to ask, Mark, did you watch the episode live? Did you know it was coming, or have you not seen it yet?
I have not seen it yet. I've gotten emails from everybody. I saw the clips. That's totally John Michael.
Okay.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And I'm glad. I mean, we were all devastated when he passed away, and it's nice that his memory's getting this kind of credit.
Mark, thanks so much for the phone call. We appreciate it, man, okay?
Sure. Thanks for talking about
it. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah. Stay healthy.
Yeah, we will. You too, Mark. Thank you very much. How cool is that, Matt?
That was really cool. Shoot, if I know it, I would have reached out to him for the story as well. But that's pretty cool. I was afraid I was going to get punked or something whenever there's a surprise caller. But that was really cool, really fascinating to hear another layer of insight, if you will, to a guy who works side by side with him.
I think that what makes his story really cool, and what I'm glad you got a chance to write it and share it with us, is that the documentary, of course, is about the Bulls, right? And I think, you know, we were learning so much about the insight of what happens in this team. But I think the biggest star of the show is Chicago. Like, it just feels, it's so Chicago in so many ways, even as this worldwide thing. And maybe that's just bias because I'm from Chicago, grew up watching that team. That's who I am. But John Michael is, like, he is such a Chicago character that it's almost the personification of the rest of us admiring, watching along, and being part of it, too.
Yeah, I think anytime you introduce a former president of the United States as, quote, former Chicago resident, as Barack Obama was initially, I think that speaks to the provinciality of the programming. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, it's been such a fun trip down memory lane. And look, as a diehard sports fan, a guy who grew up not in Chicago, but grew up a big NBA fan and followed the Bulls and Michael very closely, I don't know if I've learned a whole lot as far as like the history of the Bulls and Michael Jordan and all the stories and whatnot. I mean, a lot of that was public knowledge, as fun as it's been to see it all kind of crammed together over 10 hours. But the smaller overlooked pieces, if you will, the guys behind the guys, the John Michael Wozniaks, those have been the really rewarding, fun parts to watch and to learn about. And I'm hoping that his interview airs over these last four episodes, because I'll be very fascinated to see his firsthand perspective of what it was like being the guy behind the guy for so many years.
Right. Being an everyday guy before meeting and working with Michael Jordan. Hey, Matt, you work right for The Athletic. Also, you know, you're with GN Sports TV, which is weeknights at 10:30, right?
It sure is. Yeah, 10:45 now during the pandemic.
But right. That's right, 10:45 on good old Channel 9. You looking forward to this weekend, I imagine, these next two episodes?
Oh, absolutely. I'm waiting with bated breath like everyone else. I mean, it's not much else to look forward to in the sports show right now.
Yeah. All right, Matt, thanks so much for hopping on. We appreciate it.
Thanks, John. That was really cool. Appreciate it.
Take care. That's Matt Fortuna again of The Athletic. It's a great write-up how quickly he was able to get that story and answer the question of who was that man in the meme. And if you haven't watched The Last Dance yet, it airs at 8 and 9 o'clock on Sunday nights on ESPN. It's awesome. It's just fun to watch. I have some issues with the story chronologically. I it's a little jumpy for me, and that is like the littlest of criticism because it's still appointment watching for me every single weekend, so who am I to judge? Not that I don't get what's happening, just Dennis Rodman is an opponent, then a teammate. All of a sudden, they go back and forth so much. But anyways, I love it. It's such great
the
stuff.
The soundtrack
to watch.
Makes up for any issues you have with it.
You're right. You know, it's the worst opinion to have. I was talking about this on The Jam, and everyone's like, you cannot speak blasphemously about it. I'm like, I'm just from a critical perspective. But no, the soundtrack is great, and just how good the footage is, too, right? Like, it doesn't look old 90s. I mean, obviously, they were using good cameras. They have great access inside spaces that you wouldn't expect people to be in, and it's awesome.